بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم. اللهم زدنا علما كثيرا وحكمة وعملا متقبلا يا أرحم الراحمين. أما بعد، الحمد لله، we continue with our journey through the verses of the Quran on this blessed month, during these blessed nights together, inshallah ta'ala. And we ask that Allah increase us in knowledge. Allah says that He raises those who have iman and who have knowledge. Darajat. يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتِ. Allah raises those who have iman and those who have knowledge. He raises them in ranks with Him. So knowledge is the key in the way that we increase our status with Allah Azza wa Jal. From some of the verses that we passed through or that we read together were the verses regarding the days of Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, وَاذْكُرُ اللَّهَ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْدُودَاتٍ. Remember Allah during the days, the numbered days. And this actually refers to the days of Tashriq. And the days of the Hajj, perhaps you may not know, during Dhul Hijjah, the days of the Hajj briefly are from the eighth day, the pilgrims, they wear the ihram and they go to Mina. And the ninth day is called the day of Arafat, when all of the Muslims, they stand together on the plain of Arafat, where Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was revealed the manasik, the different rituals of the Hajj. And some of the ulama, they say the name Arafat came from when Ibrahim was taught the rituals of Hajj. He said, "Ariftu," I understood. So they say that the name of that place became known as Arafat, where Ibrahim was taught the manasik or the rituals of the Hajj. So the ninth day is when the pilgrims, they go to Arafat, and then after the sunset, they must stay there until the sunset. They're not allowed to leave before the sunset. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Al-Hajju Arafat." Anybody who missed the standing in Arafat on the ninth day, then he cannot have a Hajj. So then after that, on the ninth, they go to Muzdalifa. And they stay there until Fajr Salah, where they pray. And then on the 10th, does anybody know the name of the 10th day of Dhul-Hijjah? What is it? Eid al-Adha or Yawm al-Nahr. They're both correct. It's the Eid, but it's also known as the day of slaughtering, the day of sacrifice, because that is when the Hujjaj, they make their sacrifice, and they also perform the Tawaf of Ifada and the Sa'i, and they cut their hair, and they come out of the first stage of Ihram. Then, and they also stone the Jamarat. They stone the big Shaitan, as they call it, the big Jamarat, on the day of Nahr. Then on these days that Allah mentions, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْدُودَاتٍ. What this refers to, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to the days after the day of Eid, the 11th, 12th, and 13th. Those are called the days of Tashriq, or which literally it means the days of drying the meat. Because traditionally they would slaughter on the 10th, and then during these days they would take the meat out and let it dry so that they could save it for the rest of the year. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, remember Allah. And the reason for all of these rituals that Allah has prescribed in the Hajj is for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to show our ubudiyyah to Him. فَمَنْ تَعَجَّلَ فِي يَوْمَيْنِ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ. Whoever hastens in 2 days, then it is okay, there's no sin on him. Which means if one goes to the camps in Mina on the 11th and the 12th, they have to leave before sunset on the 12th, and there's no sin on them, they're allowed to do that. But if they delay even 1 minute beyond sunset, then what do they have to do? They have to stay an extra day. They have to stay the 13th day. This is what Allah Azza wa Jalla is referring to. مَنْ تَعَجَّلَ فِي يَوْمِهِ. Whoever hastens in 2 days, فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ. وَمَنْ تَأَخَّرَ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ لِمَنْ اتَّقَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's mentioning this. And then we see in the next few verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions a very beautiful verse. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ بَتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. And there are from mankind those who sell themselves for the pleasure of Allah. And this ayah was actually revealed regarding the noble Sahabi, Suhaib ibn Sinan, also known as Suhaib al-Rumi. And the story of his hijrah is very beautiful, where he set out from Mecca to come to the Prophet ﷺ in Medina, and the mushrikeen, they surrounded him, and they threatened him to kill him. And he said, "You all, you mushrikeen, you know that I'm a brave fighter, and I will shoot all of my arrows at you, and then I will fight you with my sword till death. I will not give myself up. You know that I'm brave. But if you let me go to Rasulullah, I will give you all of my wealth." When they made hijrah, they would often bury their wealth. He said he didn't have any desire for his wealth. He wanted to be with Rasulullah. So the mushrikeen, they sent somebody, Suhaib al-Rumi, he told them where his buried treasure was. And they went and they found the treasure and they let him go. And when Suhaib al-Rumi, when he arrived in Medina, the Prophet ﷺ had, this ayah had been revealed about him. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Rabihat tijaratuka ya Aba Yahya." That was his nickname, Aba Yahya. He said, "You have done a good trade. You sold your dunya, but for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And Allah said, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ إِبْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. From amongst mankind are those who sell themselves to Allah for the pleasure of Allah. They don't, their wealth, it is not more valuable to them than the pleasure of Allah. They give it up for the sake of Allah. وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. And Allah, He is merciful, He is kind to His servants. And just one, inshallah, last ayah. We read Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions the tahrim of the khamr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He talks about how He forbade the khamr. Where He says that, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ. They ask you about the khamr, the alcohol, and the gambling, and say that in them is some benefit, with the scholars they say some material benefit, where they could trade and make some profit, but great harm for mankind. And this was one in the early stage of the prohibition of khamr. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade the khamr, He didn't forbid it all at once. Because the Sahaba, they were not ready for that. And from the hikmah, from the wisdom of the Sharia, they call what they call tadarruj al-tashri'a, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sent down the prohibitions gradually to make it easy for the Sahaba to accept that. So in the beginning, the khamr was actually permitted in Mecca. And then after some time, they were forbidden to go to the salah. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنْتُمْ سُكَارَى. They were forbidden to perform prayer while they were drinking. And so they would drink at night. But then even during this amount of drinking, it would lead to fighting. And some of them, they would still argument during the night time. And after many, some years passed, then the complete prohibition came. إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنْسَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجِسٌ مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. The alcohol is rigid, it's something dirty, and it became absolutely forbidden. And so what we learn from this ayah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the beginning, He explained to the Sahaba that there's some benefit that you might find in this alcohol, some profit, but it has great harm. And so it became a dislike to drink, but it wasn't completely prohibited. This ayah was abrogated by the later ayah that forbade khamr altogether. And so what we see and what we learn is the gradation and legislation. And the ulama, some people ask, why are the ayahs that were abrogated still in the Qur'an? When a verse was abrogated, why is it still in the Qur'an? The ulama, they point out that this is a reminder for us of how Allah revealed the Sharia gradually. And so likewise, when we call people to Islam, we start with the basics, the most foundational things, the Tawheed. When the Prophet ﷺ sent Mu'adh to Yemen, he said, call them to believe in La ilaha illallah. If they accept, then call them to the Salah. And so they took them gradually. And if we want to call others to Islam, whether Muslim or non-Muslim, we don't start with the furu'. We don't tell them right away, grow a beard or, you know, shorten your thobe. But we start with make them learn the aqidah of Islam, the tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they accept that, invite them to the salah. And we see our sisters, invite them to come to establish their salah in their homes and to start learning. After that, if they accept, then slowly, slowly you take them and you teach them the matters that are more detailed, inshallah ta'ala. So this was the hikmah that Allah gave in keeping the ayahs that were abrogated in the Quran al-Kareem. And inshallah we'll continue with more lessons inshallah tomorrow, inshallah after Fajr. Inshallah you're all invited. Jazakum Allah khair. And let me remind you also that whoever stays with the Imam till the end, till the witr, it's as if he prayed the whole night. So you're all encouraged inshallah to stay with us. Jazakum Allah khair. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah.